Blog Talk Radio.
Yes. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you once again for tuning in to Locker Talk with host Barry Barnes on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you'll hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me directly on any one of my social handles on Twitter, Locker_Report, Instagram, Locker Report 100, all small caps, Facebook, LockReport.com, and you always can shoot me a message like so many people do directly in my email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. I hope everyone is safe at all their locations where they had to get to. I hope everyone is ready for Super Bowl 54. I'm definitely am. The sad part, you know, football with the NFL season, playing season will be over. We have just four quarters left, but that's all right. You know, do have some good news to share at the end of the show. However, we know the NFL season concludes this Sunday when the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs face off in the league championship game, the 54th version of the Super Bowl, and it's going to be a heck of a matchup. I know personally that I'm glad I'm not a betting man because I would not know who to put my money on. This is going to be a tough week for you guys out there. So, hey, good luck to you guys out there. I'm just glad I just talk about it instead of put my money up for it because I always say scared money is saved money. So, trust me, it's definitely going to be one of those games that that I can see being one of the best ever because we have two high-powered offenses. And then but basically we have a good defense, number one defense going against a rock high-powered offense in the Kansas City Chiefs. So when we see in a Super Bowl where the strengths go against the strengths, that's always going to be something to watch out for. So today's show, definitely going to talk about the Super Bowl, give my breakdown of both teams, how they can win, and I'll give my prediction towards the end of the show. However, also in regards to the NFL Regional Combine, that's the platform that I cover in regards to the NFL. And as I do have one conspiracy theory to talk about this morning. You know, I hope it doesn't happen, but if it does, you know, I vote for content and for Locker Report for the NFL football operations. If this particular scenario happens, it'll be great for us, you know, but I know for fans and football fans, we don't wish what my conspiracy theory or I would say my controversial comment that I'm going to talk about later on the show. We don't want to see it happen, but if it does, it'll give me something to write about. So for that part alone, I'll be looking forward to it. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. We hear about NFL football, NFL stars of tomorrow, today. And also let you know that who I will have a guest on next week's show. So make sure you guys stay tuned in to the end of the show while you'll be able to give a breakdown on that. But let's not waste any time. Before we get to the topic of the Super Bowl, I will be remiss not to mention that we lost a father. We lost a legend. We lost someone who we thought was going to be around a lot of time, for a long time. We always think that, you know, we're all going to be here to our 80s and our 90s. And, you know, there's a time for everyone. And the only person that knows that is the Lord. And we must always be careful what we speak into the atmosphere because words have life. And that's something that we definitely want to make sure that we watch out because our tongue can is the most deadly member in our body. And I'm talking about NBA legend Kobe Bryant, along with eight other people, including his daughter Gigi, to a tragic helicopter incident that happened this past Sunday. And that's something that the whole country, the whole world was shook up on. And I was one of those many people who experienced such a sad moment, a moment that hit me right in my heart, my core. And, you know, briefly just say that before I started covering the NFL, I was an NBA writer. I used to write for DC Metro Sports. It was my first publication that I was able to write for. And I covered some of the George Washington men's basketball team, but my main assignment was to cover the Washington Wizards. So covering the Washington Wizards, having an opportunity to, you know, to cover a professional team in the professional league. NBA basketball is in my heart just as well as with the NFL. So I know that just as well as NFL, but everything is predicated to the NFL now in my career. However, when the Lakers came in the town to play the Washington Wizards, Kobe Bryant had a great game that night, had over 30 points. It was something I will never forget. And during that time, I was thinking in my mind that big-time stars only wanted to talk to big-time reporters and, you know, and big-time writers. So I was in my infancy stage, so to speak, in sports coverage and interviewing players. And so from talking to the likes of Michael Wilbon and Stephen A. Smith and David Aldridge, guys that helped me along my career, especially in the very beginning, they always talked about building relationships. Don't always worry about trying to get a story. Build relationships with these professional athletes because that will take you much further. So with that being said, again, went to the Wizards locker room, got my interviews to do my game rap, go to the Lakers locker room, and I wasn't expected to talk to Kobe Bryant. You know, like I said, I'm thinking that he's not going to really want to talk to a nobody. And so after all the reporters had talked to him, they all went away. He was standing beside his PR guy, and I was standing in the middle part of the locker room. And Kobe and I locked eyes. And to break the ice, normally you would think I would be the one, but Kobe was the one that actually broke the ice. And he goes, "Hey, what's up, man?" And so from that point, the barrier was broken. I went to him. You know, extended my hand out, told him to shake his hand, told him who I was, introduced myself to him, and congratulated him on the game. And we talked a little bit. And then I had my recorder in my hand, but I put my recorder back in my pocket because I was trying to keep the advice that was given to me to icons who I look up to in the media. And so he and I had talked briefly, you know, talked to him about his career, a fan. You know, some of the things, gave them some encouragement. That's one of the things I always do with players. I always give them encouragement. And then, you know, that's when we slap, you know, shook hands, little manly hug, you know how we do. And that was it. So Kobe Bryant essentially was the first megastar that helped me to break that ice and not be afraid to talk to big time athletes. So he, in hindsight, helped me to get over that. And two other occasions, 3 years of covering the Washington Wizards, you know, was able to briefly talk to him again. And then the last time I had the chance to really to meet him again, you know, he remembered me, asked how my career was coming along and things like that. So the exchange of words between Kobe Bryant was something I'll never forget, and how he helped me in hindsight to not be afraid to approach athletes. So when the news happened on Sunday, that definitely took, you know, definitely hit me very hard, took it hard, you know, watched everything I could on Kobe Bryant, you know, but at the same time, we know what it was, that it was his destiny for when that happened. There was an interview that Tracy McGrady gave early this week, and when they were young, young players and things like that, they had a conversation, and Kobe Bryant has said that, you know, he wanted to die young, and he wanted to, you know, exceed Michael Jordan. And one of the things you want to make sure you, as a child, as a person, make sure you watch what you say. The words do have life. You put out there in the atmosphere. And unfortunately, you know, as far as with him surpassing Michael Jordan, he's right there. He's definitely in the same conversation with Michael Jordan. So he did fulfill that. But unfortunately, although he was young, he put that out there in the atmosphere, and that hurt. So I just want to tell you, the guys, that if you did not know that, just watch out for what you say, because when you put it out there, it can come true. And unfortunately, we lost Kobe at a young age of 41 when he was really ready to take over and exceed further off the court than he did on the floor. But definitely want to keep his family in prayer. Also, the other seven victims, a close friend of mine who knew the coach his wife and their daughter that was on a helicopter as well. So we extend, you know, our prayers out to Junior and his family and the family that lost their lives there. So continue to love your loved ones. Continue to, you know, move forward. Think before you speak. And always know that the time, no one knows their time. So make sure you get everything out your life and hold no grudges, because we never know how long we're going to be here. All right. Got that out. Wanted to do that. And now we're going to get to Super Bowl 54. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow or today. Now, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Super Bowl 54. All right. After looking at videos for the last, you know, of both teams for the past couple of weeks, you know, trying to make sure that I'll be ready for this show to give a legitimate breakdown. Now, the sexy team of them all, the Kansas City Chiefs. Being around that organization, being around that team a couple of weeks ago, definitely was electric. Everyone, I mean, even everyone from the fans, you know, to the janitors, to the service workers, all the way up to the front office, everyone is elated and is in 100% support of the Chiefs winning this game. And the Chiefs very well can win this game. And one of the things they love to do on the offense, they love to run tight formations. They like to keep things compact, although they can spread the field, but they like to have things tight where they can run a lot of crossing patterns and a lot of slants. They do a lot of motion in the backfield because they want to make sure that their receivers, especially being in motion, that they in a certain rhythm and a certain speed. So the Chiefs are bringing a lot of speed into this game. And it's the reason why they keep things close and compact is because they want to create more opportunities for their pass catchers to be able to make plays after the catch. The Chiefs are third in the NFL in yards after the catch. And with their speed, knowing that they're going to already be in rhythm, knowing they're pretty much always going to be in stride, trying to keep those guys in front and being disciplined as a defensive unit has always been a tall order for every team they face this season. So that's something that you definitely want to watch out for in this game. Now, one of the things that the Chiefs can do in this game, I can see if they were to try to run a little bit more bubble screens, try to mirror something that the 49ers love to do as well. And if they do more of that, it will definitely keep the 49ers on their toes a lot more. We know that Patrick Mahomes is going to roll out to get to the edge and create with his legs. One of the things that the 49ers, they struggle with this year is a mobile quarterback getting out on third and short, third and long. They want to make sure that they be disciplined and being at home so they can watch out for Patrick Mahomes to pick up those first downs that would extend drives. That's something they definitely have to watch out for. And also with the Chiefs defense, the defense got a lot better, especially after week 8. One of the things that the Chiefs do a good job of is good open field tackling. I would say they run a lot of stunts on the front line, like to send that pressure up the middle, try to keep the quarterback guessing. That's something that they are able to, you know, do very well with Terrell Suggs, who I believe is a future Hall of Famer. He definitely has been talking to this his defensive line, setting up certain schemes to know how to get to the pass catch. I mean, get to the quarterback. So if there's anyone who the Chiefs can rely on and help keeping that line disciplined, because they have to be disciplined as well, because Jimmy G, he can get out as well and create with his legs. So with that being said, watch the Chiefs create a lot of stunts to try to confuse Garoppolo, but watch out for the Chiefs, how they play the center field. They do a good job out there in keeping the receivers in front of them. They're going to have a tall task too, because they're going to go up with a high-powered offense with speed by wide receivers as well. Fortunately, both teams pretty much face each other every day in practice. These two teams pretty much are a mirror of each other, especially on the offense side of the ball. So watch out the way how the Chiefs is going to disguise their blitzes, because they will come. Just be mindful that Jimmy can get out, but if they can get to Jimmy and rattle him, that is something that is definitely a possibility that can be done. Unlike Patrick Mahomes, who rarely gets rattled, Matter of fact, never gets rattled. So that's going to be a plus for the Chiefs, knowing they're going to have a quarterback they can rely on mentally throughout the game. And that's something that the Chiefs are going to try to disguise to try to get into Jimmy's head. You're looking to listen to Locker Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network. We'll take a quick pause, come back. We're going to talk about some 49ers, how they gonna, how they be effective, and then get to the regional combine guys. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is L.A. Batzler reminding you, if you're looking for real discussion on sports, politics, religion, and other topics, you need to join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern at WCOMFM.org, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/LA-Batzler, and on Thursdays at the same web address. Follow us on Facebook at Pad Nation, on Twitter, Pad Nation, the number 2, at Twitter, LinkedIn, and you can email us with your requests, your comments, your concerns, anything you want at our email address at labatchelor with a T, BATCHELOR 40 at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Pad Nation, Instagram, and of course, if you miss any part of our broadcast, make sure you go to thebachelorpadnetwork.com and listen and enjoy the Bachelor Pad.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me directly, any one of my social handles, on Twitter at Locker_Report, Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps, or shoot me an email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. And make sure you guys always tune in to the Bachelor News Radio Network. Go to Bachelor Pad Radio Network, where you can listen to all the type of programmings that we do have. We have everything covered from politics, religion, the sports, of course, social issues, anything you want to talk about, anything you want to listen to, we have it covered. Everywhere from the Donaldson Files, from the Dr. Larry Show, anything you want to hear, and of course, the Bachelor Pad with the man who runs this whole thing, L.A. Batchelor. Check out his show. Check out all these shows. We have everything covered. Anything you need to know in the world of news, the Bachelor News Radio Network has it for you. Okay, then. Now, just got finished talking about the Chiefs. Now, let's get to the 49ers. Now, unlike the Chiefs, one of the things the 49ers like to do is that they can play tight formations. They're pretty much versatile, but they like to spread out with their packages. Unlike trying to create opportunities for their receivers to make plays, create yards after the catch, something that the Chiefs specialize in, the 49ers receivers like to get to certain spots. Now, they more of a first down instead of a big play team like the Chiefs. The 49ers will play for first downs, and the receivers know where the spots to be at. But they will diagram certain plays where they get to the spot, the ball will be there, but they still can create opportunities after the catch. The 49ers are fourth in the league in creating yards after the catch. So right underneath the Chiefs, they can do the same exact thing, but they look for spots, more so explosive plays, although they are capable. But they're more of a first down team. Now, one of the things, well, the biggest thing that the 49ers had, like I said, this game is about strength versus strength. The Chiefs' high-powered offense going against this 49ers defense, that is fantastic. Now, I cannot stress enough how much of a luxury it is for a team to just send four defensive players, and they can have seven players to drop back and cover and protect the pass. Knowing that the Chiefs is going to try to double any one of the defensive linemen that the 49ers will send. And one of the things that I like about with Nick Bosa is not, the biggest guy, but he has great leverage. And that's something that he uses to his advantage. And during that course of the game, when Patrick Mahomes dropped back, because he's going to drop back a lot, Williams is a good running back, but the Chiefs are not built to run like that. So they're going to pass a lot. And so during the course of the game, you can see watch out for the way how the 49ers are going to use their four linemen, how they're going to use their stunts, how they're going to use their speed off the edge. They're not going to get too much pressure up the middle because the Chiefs' offensive line is very solid up there with my guy Austin Rutter, the center there. They really do not allow a lot of pressure up the middle. So they got that part down, but watch out for the way how the 49ers will try to cup Patrick Mahomes in and try to get him on the back end. But they're good enough and have enough speed to try to keep him from getting to the outside. However, the 49ers have struggled against scrambling quarterbacks, but I'm quite for sure they're going to shore that up a lot, knowing they're going to have linebackers that's going to somewhat stay home, and they're going to have to be disciplined against Patrick Mahomes getting to the outside, which they're capable of doing. Now, unlike the Chiefs, when it comes down to the 49ers and what they experienced this year, the Chiefs only went up against a high-powered offensive team once for the most part because that was against the Detroit Lions in week four. So with them not going up against teams that has, I would say, a total package offensively, that is something to watch out for. Now, they did go up against Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay Packers, but Patrick Mahomes did not play in that Sunday night matchup. But as far as teams that kind of mirror what they do offensively, they only dealt with that once, and that was the Detroit Lions. But with the 49ers, they had some practice. They go up against the Rams twice a year. They went up against the Seattle Seahawks. Although they're not high-powered, but that is an offensive team that kept them on their toes, and also that famous Saints game. If you want to get an idea how the Super Bowl is going to be, as far as how the 49ers are going to play, watch that Saints game they played. They won that game by 2 points, but that was a game to watch out for that I really looked at a lot and watched the way how the Saints was able to use Taysom Hill and how Drew Brees was able to extend plays. That was fascinating to watch and to see how the 49ers figured them out towards the end to make that stop. And it may come in this game. They probably had to make a couple of stops to secure a victory in this game. So with that being said, with the 49ers, knowing they're going to be disciplined with their linebackers, with Armstead, and then with Day, with DeForest, these guys are going to have to make sure that they stay home, stay disciplined, and not act out on their own instincts. And if they do that, I can see these guys, pulling this game off. As a matter of fact, when it comes down to predicting this game, I really like the 49ers. And the reason why I say I believe the 49ers can pull this out, because I am a defensive guy. I love defensive teams. I love this game so much to the point where I love when the defensive players are, when they can pose their will on another man to make them do things that they do not want to do. And the 49ers have experienced games where they had to mud the game up, where they had to play lights out offensively, had to be tactful and dominated. So they pretty much played all kinds of phases of what football brings about. This team will adjust to what the Chiefs have to do. I know with knowing that Jimmy Garoppolo have not thrown the ball as much as postseason, and his teammates has taken offense to how the media is dogging Jimmy G, but I think that Jimmy G and the 49ers will pull this out. The funny part about this game is, like, whoever wins is going to pretty much get on my nerves a lot, because if the 49ers win, then everyone's going to talk about what Bill Belichick did and how, this is the reason why he wanted to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. So that's going to be another story in itself that's going to drive me crazy. And then we have Patrick Mahomes. If they win this game, they're going to have clowns like Marcus Spears on ESPN on Get Up talking about how he's going to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And hearing other guys like Nick Wright say the same thing. Listen, guys, pump the brakes. He's only going in his fourth year. If he wins, that's just one Super Bowl. It's not easy getting there. We've all been spoiled by Tom Brady and the Patriots. It's not an easy feat to get to. So either way, whoever wins, I'm going to hear a lot of bonehead conversations about the situations and their quarterbacks. All right? Now, conspiracy time. Now, the NFL Reason Combine is the platform. That's the only thing I cover when you go to locker-report.com. That's all you're going to see. and hear about players that was unknown at one time that's making it big in the NFL. Now, last week, Austin Ritter, center of the Kansas City Chiefs, made it, interviewed him after the AFC Championship game. We already know what kind of role he's going to play in this contest, as I would say since Austin Ritter is going to play the biggest role that an NFL regional combine player had to play in a Super Bowl. Now, when they outside a kicking specialist, when you had Brandon McManus, when they won the Super Bowl 50, when they played against the Panthers, he essentially was their offense for that whole season, you know, and he also came through in the Super Bowl, nailing the field goals, all three of them in that game, to help keep the Panthers at bay and also to help seal the win for the Broncos. And last year, Johnny Hekeler, the punter, and the kicker, Greg Zuerlein, kept the Rams in that contest against the New England Patriots. So that was on the end for special, for kicking specialists. But when it comes to skilled players, Austin is going to have the biggest impact of any NFL regional combine player that played played in the Super Bowl, as he is a part of the starting lineup. So that's something to watch out for. But on the 49ers side, now, Jimmy G's got finished praising him. He is a good quarterback, excellent quarterback, could be on to great things. However, we know Jimmy can get injured very very quickly. This season was the best season of his career as far as health-wise. He stayed healthy all season long, and I hope that he stayed healthy through this Super Bowl, because no one want to see their stars get injured or be on the sideline. But if that happens, his backup, Nick Mullins, talked about this young man last year a lot because he filled in after Jimmy G got injured and when C.J. Beathard was ineffective. Nick Mullins took over after week 9 and played some good football for the 49ers through 13 touchdowns, had 10 interceptions, but 5 of those interceptions came off the hands of the pass catchers. The balls was there, they just mishandled them. But Nick Mullins is poised enough. He get his reps with the team. His teammates support him, love him, and they will play for him, and he will play hard for them. He does have a Brady-esque type of attitude, not playing ability, but his approach, his work ethic, is definitely up there. And when watching this young man coming through the process in 2016, you know, I have a lot of confidence in him. And if something was to happen to Jimmy G, I'm confident enough to know that Nick can step in there. He have experience. This is a Super Bowl. But one of the things that I like about Nick Mullins is that he keep everything in perspective. He knows that this is the same length of the field that he played in high school, the same length of the field when he played in college, and then his experience playing with the 49ers last year. So if something was to happen, don't worry. My man Nick Mullins will step in and do the thing for the 49ers if that was to happen. So that's my conspiracy, something that can happen in this game. Watch out for if Jimmy G were to go down, was to go down. Hopefully that does not happen. Listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. Now, next week, yes, we will recap what happened with Super Bowl 54. But next week, I will have a special guest, another young man that came through the NFL combine platform. As a matter of fact, was at the same workout that Nick Mullins was in New Orleans in 2016. His name is Johnny Mathis Jr. He's a defensive player for the Houston Renegades. Yes, although the NFL season ends this Sunday with the NFL with the Super Bowl. However, the cool part of it all is that we have football back continuing for the spring with the XFL, as the XFL will carry everything on for football through the spring. Massey, he played for the Houston Roughnecks. The XFL starts next Saturday on the 8th. He's going to come on and join the show, talk about his experience through the NFL Regional Combine, his experience in the NFL, which I believe that he will get back to. But the XFL topic will be on next week, so we will talk about that and talk about some of the rules of the game. So Johnny will tune in, will be the guest on Locker Talk next week. I hope everyone enjoy Super Bowl 54. It's going to be a great game. And I hope everyone be safe where they are. I hope they enjoy themselves 100% because it's going to be awesome. We will talk about that. We'll look out for my regional combine guys in the Super Bowl. I definitely will. This is Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. Make sure you check us out. And also, you look, check us out on TuneIn. So make sure you guys stay tuned to what we have to say on this awesome network that is growing. I'm your host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of LockerDashReport.com. I hope everyone had a safe weekend. Everyone enjoy these games. I definitely will. And everyone stay blessed.
For tuning in to Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba. Today on Pro Talk, we have with us one of the finest individuals I have ever met in my life. She is the only person with a NFL sanctioned event at the Super Bowl. For now, for 21 years, she has put forth the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, in which she has given NFL players to bring their testimonies of faith. And I mean, many of them are world-shaking. When you hear their stories, the story of Tommy Harris, the story of Ray Lewis, all of those people came to the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, including the great Russell Wilson, who I call the General, and Troy Vincent, and many others. She has been honored all over this country for her achievements. She is one of the great people that you will ever have the opportunity of meeting, Miss Melanie Few, the creator and founder of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. Hello, Melanie.
Hey, how are you?
How'd you like that introduction?
I loved it, but you're my friend. You're my friend, so you're partial.
But
you're
truthful.
Very biased.
But truthful. Knowing that you're a woman of faith and have one of the best hearts I have ever met.
Now, thank you so much.
Well, it's my pleasure. You have treated me with kindness since I started covering the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration many, many years ago at this point.
I know. It's been so many years.
Well, tell me, what made you do or what made you create the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration? How did it come about?
Well, it came about because I had gone to the Super Bowl with a friend. And I wasn't thinking about doing a gospel event or a church event or anything like that. And when I went, I thought, wow, this is amazing. You know, this weekend, it's so much excitement, so much activity. People just full of excitement.
Mm-hmm.
I had the idea. I realized I felt like something was missing. And I said, you know, there's no gospel concert at Super Bowl.
Right.
And so I wrote the NFL. They had about 7 years of rejection letters. And after 7 years of rejection letters, I wrote the NFL Players Association. I wrote to Gene Upshaw, who at the time was a friend of mine, her boss. And so after I did that, he was like, okay. And I got so sick of writing an email. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you can get Gladys Knight to do the Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, then I'll help you do it. You know, we can do it up under the umbrella of the NFLPA.
Mm.
Little did he know that my aunt and Gladys went to high school together. And I said, oh, you haven't seen anything but work. And so, to make a long story short, we delivered Gladys and had all this other amazing talent. And as the years went on, it was the Players Association. And so after that, they stopped the NFL from doing public events, and the NFLPA, excuse me. And we thought Super Gospel was just going to go away. And then we heard from the NFL, and they said, hey, you know, the players seem to love this event. We're going to sanction you. Mm. We did not know what sanction meant. Mm. And I was hoping it meant let's meet up at the bank. but it didn't mean that. It means they give you the right and the blessings to go forward and have a sanction with the intellectual property of the league.
Yes.
So that's what it meant. And we have been on this journey now for 21 years. I had some of the most amazing talent for everybody. I could go on and on.
Yes.
So I'm really scared to even name names, but from, you know, Kirk Franklin to Fantasia to Yolanda Adams to Donnie McClurkin, I mean, Erica Campbell, Mary, I could go, Patti LaBelle, I could go on 24 hours naming,
yes,
you know, the talent, and I shouldn't have done that because I know I've missed, you know, left some folks out, but it's just been a blessing. It's been a blessing to be on this journey 21 years, and to be honest with you, I had said, Lord, please let me make it to 20 because
yes,
it'll be in my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really know that I would go to a 21. Because he answered my prayer at 20. I said, you know, if I make it to 20, you know, I'll be at peace that I made it 20. And he gave me the ability and the blessing to be surrounded by an amazing team and people that have poured into my life. So I was going to be okay with that. But he saw fit to, you know, bless me with being able to stay on this journey, and I'm grateful.
Melanie, what has been your greatest struggle over the years with Super Bowl Gospel Celebration?
There have been many because when people come to an event like this, they come and enjoy it, but they don't really realize the sacrifices that are made and how much, and they should. It's their job to have a fun night out and
right,
to enjoy it. Well, I'll tell anybody what goes on, and I've worked many shows, including the Grammys. Years ago, I worked the Grammys. All hell can be breaking loose backstage, but as long as no one in the audience knows it,
exactly,
it does not matter. So I'll tell anybody, you know, when you have a small team, you know, I'm a small business owner, and we don't have, you know, millions and millions, you know, nothing like that. It's when you are coming from the ground up, because I'm blessed to have a TV partner that, you know, definitely feels the gap with the production, but there's so many more layers, and, you know, from graphics to PR to you name it, things that have to be done on our side, and all that has to be paid for. And so as a small business owner, sometimes, you know, getting those invoices and having to pay them, it's hard.
Right.
But you have to do what you have to do, and you have to respect people's time and their God-given gifts. And I think that's why I've had the same team for 13 and 14 years, is because I try to put in the universe what I want back, which is respect.
Right. Now, tell me, Melanie, who have been your favorite NFL players that have helped you?
You know what? I can't go there because I'm scared. I'm going to.
Well, you've had certain people that were been there, like Tommy Harris.
Okay, so, yeah.
Michael
definitely.
Gaines.
So, Michael and Tommy have been here almost the whole ride.
Right.
They came on board, I think, 2006 or 2007. I don't remember the exact year, but they've been on this journey with me a long time. Ori Johnson been on this journey,
right,
pretty much the whole rap. Brian Scott didn't come too much farther behind them. So there've been those guys that have been rock solid, supportive, and committed to, you know, the cause. And then there are guys that, you know, are currently still playing, like your Russell Wilson, like your Von Miller, like your Jameis Winston, like your Cam Newton, who have also been supportive.
Right.
It's a different kind of support because, you know, they are have started to come over these last few years and just really love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I remember there were some real lean years, even when I was covering, that you and I talked and you said that I believe it was around the time frame of the economic downturn. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, there's been plenty of those.
And a lot of the sponsors pulled away. How did you manage those challenges?
You know, personal sacrifices. You know, that's why I tell anybody, I look at things very, very different now. When I go to a show, I look at things very differently because I know the sacrifices that may have been made to pull it off. So, you know, that's what, yeah, I could just say, yeah, there have been many lean years, and, I'm just grateful that, you know, I came from a praying family that just allowed me to just say, you know what, I'll make personal sacrifices because God has not released me, and I will do what I got to do because this is His will. But there have been a lot of personal sacrifices made.
Mm. And during the tenure of this great event, tell me about some of the performers that have really stepped up to, I mean, you don't have to name names because I know there's a whole bunch of them, but I know that you have some great relationships with some of the gospel superstars that have helped you get this program forward many times over. Who are, without saying names, what have they done to really help you keep the Super Bowl gospel celebration going?
Yeah, many artists. It could be as simple as praying for us. It could be as simple as, you know, I'm not going to charge you my normal rate because I know that a percentage of the sales go to charity, and I know that, you know, that this is a journey because many of them have done branded events on their own. So they know it's nowhere near as easy as it appears.
Mm.
So it's been many over the years.
And I know Donnie McClurkin is one that has showed
up.
Oh,
Lord
many
have mercy. Uh-huh.
Now, how's his health? I know he had some health challenges. Is he going to be able to participate this year?
He is participating. No one's told me anything.
You know, he was in a car accident about a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah, he's much, much better.
Okay.
And he will be there this year.
Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, that's what I was referring to. I knew as far as any challenges.
Yeah, I was like, what happened?
Hmm?
I was about to say, what happened?
Right. No, I was talking about the car accident as far as him. And, you know, I know he's released a new album, so obviously I did see he had committed to being on Super Bowl Gospel Celebration again. And because of you, I've met him and many others many times over. If you notice, I'm always posting pictures from Super Bowl Gospel Celebration.
And you should, because you're family.
Absolutely. And I consider you family also. You know that.
I know it.
Tell me, too, Melanie, what has been your favorite city out of all this over the last 20 years?
Did you ask Atlanta?
I know Atlanta is definitely, that's your hometown.
Atlanta.
Well, let's exclude it. Outside of Atlanta, what city?
Let me just think. There's so many cities where the people have been so wonderful. I mean, Minneapolis was a really great. Houston was huge. We were at Joel Osteen's church.
Right, right.
It's been a few because God has been so faithful. It's been a few.
How about if I do this? I'm going to give you a city, and then you tell me what was your thoughts of it? And the first city I wanted to give you was Detroit. I thought Detroit was such a mecca of gospel, and you had such a historic lineup there. I was there. That was the one of the first gospel celebrations that I had went to, and I just thought Detroit was an awesome city. I think it was at the Scottish. It was either Masonic Cathedral.
Yes. Oh, that's been years.
Yes. Yes. Patti LaBelle was there. The Winans, the
yes.
Clark Sisters, and you've always had great lineups. But how did you like Detroit because of its historical significance?
Of course, I loved it. Now, that cold was on a different level.
I know that's right.
That and Minneapolis. Minneapolis, I couldn't even feel my hand and feet.
Right.
I think they're still there, but
yes.
I'm not sure. I would have to say, let's see. Oh, it's just been so many good cities.
Miami, you've been there. This will be the
third
time,
there,
right?
I've been there a few times. I mean, it's always good. But there are some cities where, you know, because we go wherever the Super Bowl is, but there are some cities where people are just more convicted
yes.
about gospel.
Yes.
And, you know, gospel music and just loving it.
Yes. New Orleans, that was an interesting city for you.
Yeah, that's been years.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was definitely interesting.
Mm.
Because that was right after 9/11, so people had to get to the stadium so early because of, you know, security checks.
Yes. And that has changed a lot, too.
Yes.
Over the years, security for events and everything else.
Uh-huh.
But this is your third Super Bowl gospel celebration in Miami, correct?
I think it's the fourth, if I remember. I got to go back and look.
Okay. It might be. Over the
yeah.
last 21 years, it could be your fourth.
I think it's the fourth because, you know, it yeah. goes there all the time because it's warm.
Right. Right. And the last one was New Orleans against the Indianapolis Colts.
Was that what it was?
That was the last one. That was 2009 because they made them renovate the stadium.
Year.
Yeah, that was 2009.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, they made them renovate the stadium after that.
Yep, it has been years.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's not one of my fondest memories, only because, oh, no, you're talking about we had Fantasia that year. That was a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasia, Lecrae, yes, I know what you're talking. I'm getting my New Orleans years confused because it's been there twice.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there was two New Orleans years, 2002 and 2013. That was Ray Lewis, his last Super Bowl game. And if I remember, you had it at New Orleans University, I think was.
Yeah, that for sure.
Right, okay.
It was in New Orleans University.
Yes. See, I've been around a long time, too.
You do. You totally do.
Well, let me ask you this. Your relationship with BET started a few years ago as far as the production of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. How is that working out for you?
It's working out fine.
Mm-hmm.
We produced it and we licensed it to them, and now the last 2 years they have produced it, the last two or three, and so it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
Huge numbers for you.
Yeah, and that they have been a wonderful partner because, you know, most people would not be able to pull off something like this in the way that we've grown, wouldn't be able to pull it off on their own.
Right.
And so,
during the process, I know you're very close with your dad. How has he helped you along the way?
Oh, my God. I would not have been able to do this without him. The sacrifices, when we talk about those personal sacrifices,
yeah.
he's made many. Mm. And he's just, you know, he and my mother, just were days when I wanted to give up, they were there to say, you know what, you're not giving up, no ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do a release from anything until God releases you.
Yes. One thing, Melanie, I've noticed over the years, especially with Super Bowl gospel celebration, when I just look at the landscape, but I've been able to tell the challenges of African-American radio in the country. And there were several companies that I remember being at the gospel celebration the first time I covered it in Miami. That was the Colts against the Bears. And those companies no longer exist. Has that affected Super Bowl gospel celebration, the challenges to black radio? Because, you know, there's not as many stations as there once was.
Exactly. You know, it's been a blessing to, you know, get the support that I have gotten from black radio. And I would not be here if it were not.
Right.
And so, could you say that question one more time? Because I want to make sure I'm clear about what you're saying.
Well, I was saying that my first time covering the Super Bowl gospel celebration in Miami, there were a lot of black-affiliated radio stations. Their corporate people that were there, they had tables in the Miami reception area. A lot of those companies are no longer in the radio business, or they've downsized. I was just wondering, has that affected Super Bowl gospel celebration any?
You know, a lot of people, if it has, we haven't noticed it yet.
Mm.
Maybe because we get so much local African-American radio partners and TV partners, because we embrace African-American media. So unless I haven't noticed it, maybe the PR agency has noticed it.
Right.
Because I just see beautiful people walking in that are fresh. I don't necessarily know who they are.
Right. Yeah, I was just wondering if that had affected it, because I remember that particular Super Bowl gospel celebration, Bobby Jones was there. I can't remember every person that was there, but it was a great turnout, and it was at the convention centers attached to the hotel in Miami.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I'm looking for a Super Bowl gospel celebration, and guess where my hotel was?
Where?
The hotel where Super Bowl gospel celebration was.
Oh, wow.
So Pat's wandering around by himself trying to find everything and didn't realize that my room was upstairs.
What a blessing.
So all I had to do was walk over. I hung out and I made sure I met the person that created Super Bowl gospel celebration, and that was your
show. Yep, and it's been years.
Years. And you have done a fantastic job over the years. And, you know, I appreciate you taking time out to talk to me in between all the, you know, as busy as you are taking my calls. And a lot of times I'm just calling to say hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But
I know my buddy Michael Gaines has been a – those guys have really come through for you the last few years.
Oh, Lord, right? Yeah. No doubt about it.
And he's a fantastic singer himself.
He is. He's amazing.
Yeah, Tommy Harris. I didn't realize Tommy Harris could sing that well.
He has a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. How did his testimony that year affect you?
Oh, it was amazing because it went viral. I think like 6 million hits or something.
Right, right. And I never knew that until he stood up there and gave his testimony, along with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis is another one.
Yeah.
That stood up in front of people and gave a tremendous testimony on how far his faith in God has brought him. And you have touched a lot of people, Miss Few. Let me tell you.
God has been so good.
What are your plans this week coming up?
Well, this week, you mean for Super Bowl?
For Super Bowl, yes.
You know what? I had a death in my family, so I'm kind of really preparing for.
I did see that, and my deepest sympathy is extended.
But when I get, so I was supposed to leave for Miami today, and that's not happening. So I'm going to just, when I get there, just really be focusing on an amazing show and really just putting my focus there. Like I said, I'm usually in the market much earlier, and I just, you know, that was not able to happen this time. So God knows what is best.
Mm-hmm.
And he will, you know, everything will still be able to be what it's going to be when I get there.
Right. My deepest sympathy extended
to
you on your loss. I did see that on Facebook, and you know, if there's anything I can do, I'm always in your corner.
Oh, I appreciate you so much.
Yes, indeed. So you're not going to get there until next week.
No, I'm getting there. I'm sorry, I'm getting there on Saturday.
On Saturday, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people don't realize how much groundwork goes into these types of events, do they?
They don't, because you get there, and, you know, you have so much work to do. People, you can't just show up the day before. It didn't work like that.
Mm-hmm. And I know you are extremely busy. And I want to tell this story on how good of a person you are in our last couple of minutes. I showed up to Houston and to pick up my press pass, and it was not there. And I knew you were busy. I was very reluctant to call you. And I said, well, let me try. I called you, and this lady picked up the phone and made sure that I had my press credentials to get in.
I had to. You were my friend.
Because they were about to tell me you're out of luck, buddy. Well, Melanie, I appreciate all that you've done for me over the years, and Super Bowl Gospel Celebration has been one of the great events that I get to cover at the Super Bowl each and every year. But most of all, I think I've met and made one of my good friends in yourself, because you are one of the finest people I have truly ever met.
And I say the same thing back to you, ditto.
I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, and I know your schedule is busy.
I will see you this week.
See you this week coming up.
And I'm going to be talking to some of your favorite NFL guys. They're coming on Radio Row to talk about Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. And we're going to make sure that this interview is up in the next couple of days, okay?
I appreciate you so much.
I know you do better.
Okay. Thank you, Pat.
Hey, my best to Dad. You take care of yourself, and I'll see you in a couple of days, okay?
Okay, see ya.
All right, take care. That is all for us here at Pro Talk with the founder and creator of Super Bowl Gospel Celebration, one of the finest people I have truly ever met, Miss Melanie Few. She is the only person of color with a NFL-sanctioned Super Bowl event, Super Bowl Gospel Celebration. Make sure you tune into it on your BET affiliate, and wherever you're seeing this, it's on next week. I mean, it is a great celebration. I'm the Mighty Oba. We'll see you next week. We'll